You know, it's a great honor to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I was doing the press and they're all saying, well, why did you wait so long? It had nothing to do with me. You have to be invited. But anyway, finally, I'm invited and I love it.
That's Ringo Starr at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony that actually took place in Cleveland this time around. Jim Tofte here with the Rock Hall 2015 edition of the Fake Show podcast. The broadcast of the ceremony won't be on TV until late May on HBO, but we have all the behind-the-scenes stuff for you right now. A friend of mine who's a Rock Hall insider, he was there and has all the juicy details from the Premier Network, where he is the Senior Director of Rock Programming. It's my pal, Sal Cirincione.
Hi, Jim. It's Sal in New York. How are you?
Good, Sal. How are you doing today?
Doing fine. Thank you very much.
You were at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction ceremony on Saturday night. Now, I was just in Cleveland a few months ago at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. I'm assuming they didn't hold it there. Is there a nearby arena where they held it, Sal?
Yeah, they actually just across the street. It's called Public Hall. And it's funny because Public Hall used to be a, you know, decent venue, or, you know, not decent in terms of how it looks, but it was a big venue for Cleveland many years ago. But now they only seem to use it for when they have these Rock Hall induction ceremonies. So every 3-4 years they go in, clean it up, open it up for the Rock Hall, and then shut it down again.
And it's because it's not necessarily there all the time, is it?
That is correct. It's usually held in New York City. A matter of fact, the majority, there's been 30 of them now. And if I'm doing my math correctly, I want to say 24 of them have been held in New York City, and the other 6, 4 in Cleveland and 2 in Los Angeles.
That sounds about right, yeah.
So, and you know, the reason behind it, you know, the record labels are all here in New York City. So, you know, and it started out before there was ever a Hall of Fame museum built. And so they continue to do it here. And of course, they always would do it in either January or March. And it's very cold in Cleveland at those times.
Yeah.
New York's a little better. So, but it will, you know, continue to go to Cleveland now every 3 or 4 years.
I think the most buzz at this particular induction ceremony is that of Ringo Starr finally going in as a solo artist, inducted by, of course, Sir Paul McCartney.
It's a great honor for me to be able to induce him. Oh, induct. Yeah. Okay. Into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame here in Cleveland tonight, Mr. Ringo Starr!
Were you surprised at how long it took for Ringo to go in as a solo artist?
Well, I have to tell you, it's kind of interesting because he was not inducted as a performer, if you will, but under the guise of the Award of Excellence. Now, I was under the impression that they were indeed recognizing him for his solo career.
Yeah.
But when Paul inducted him, Paul never mentioned Ringo's solo career. And when Ringo accepted the award, he never mentioned his solo career. I then come to find out that basically he was being recognized for being a sideman for his work as a drummer. But instead of calling it the Sideman Award, they are calling it the Award of Excellence.
Wow.
And, so now, if I'm surprised, you know, he's already a member of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, having gone in with the Beatles in 1988.
Yeah.
Does his solo catalog stand up to where he should be inducted as a solo artist? That's up for debate.
Yeah.
He did have some great songs, no doubt about it. But regardless, Paul McCartney found out he was not in as a solo artist. He went to bat. He lobbied for Ringo. Ringo did not ask him to, but they acquiesced, and he is now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along with John, Paul, and George, both as a group and as solo artists.
Yeah, who has more influence than Sir Paul McCartney, right?
Exactly right. And that's really what it comes down to, you know, for those listening right now saying, well, I can't believe, you know, so-and-so is not in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but so-and-so got in. Well, you know, I'll cut to the chase. Forget the so-and-sos. I will tell you that also going in this past Saturday night was the band Green Day and Joan Jett. Now, there are some folks who feel Joan Jett deserves to be in. I am not one of them. Doesn't mean anything, but I just think there are other people who are equally, if not more, deserving. I also feel the same thing about Green Day. That's not to say that they wouldn't get in someday, but I think right now we have to look at, you know, artists like Chicago, the Moody Blues, Deep Purple.
Yes.
And, you know, and quite honestly, these are artists that have had a huge impact. They continue to be played on the radio every single day. They continue to be able to tour and fill theaters, if not amphitheaters, if not even some arenas. And, you know, we're not getting any younger. Let's honor them now while they're still here and they can enjoy it. Sadly, this past Saturday night, we inducted Lou Reed, Stevie Ray Vaughan, Paul Butterfield, the Five Royals, all of whom are deceased.
I was going to bring up Chicago and the Moody Blues. I just talked to John Lodge of the Moody Blues last week. They're very polite about it. They say, well, whatever, you know, whatever happens, happens. But what is it about bands like that?
It's a bunch of music journalists, managers, people, you know, in the music industry who gather together here in New York City. It's the nominating committee. They each come in with about three different names, and they whittle that list down to 15 total. And those 15 names are then sent out to the voting public, and not the voting public as in you and I, Joe Public, but, you know, more folks in the music industry.
Yeah.
And then they finally vote those names down to about, you know, six or eight names, and those folks then go into the Hall of Fame. You know, I just think that perhaps bands like Chicago and the Moody Blues are not cool enough for some people.
Wow.
You know, maybe just they don't like them. And that's really what it comes down to. It really is just about opinions and stuff. And so I do think that those bands will indeed make their way in there. But when it happens, I couldn't tell you. But yeah, end of the day, it's not based on anything. It's not based on record sales, not based on ticket sales, not based on radio airplay. They base it a bit on influence.
Yeah.
I understand that. But yeah, at the end of the day, it's just the opinions of a bunch of folks here in New York.
You know, Sal, I was lucky enough to see Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble at a small club in the mid-80s at a time when you would have thought that Stevie Ray Vaughan was playing two guitars. I mean, that's how great he was. Who performed in his honor?
Well, he was inducted by John Mayer.
Stevie was the ultimate guitar hero, and heroes live forever. Yeah. On behalf of every guitar player and every blues lover, it is the honor of a lifetime to induct Stevie Ray Vaughan and Double Trouble into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And then his award was accepted by his older brother, Jimmy Vaughan, who's a guitarist in his own right. So then those two gentlemen performed along with Gary Clark Jr. and Doyle Bramhall Jr. And they did three songs. They did Pride and Joy, Texas Flood, which were both Stevie Ray Vaughan Double Trouble songs, and then they did Six Strings Down, which was Jimmy Vaughan's tribute to his late younger brother that he wrote and recorded in 1994. And also, please let me tell your listeners that Double Trouble also went in. It wasn't just Stevie Ray, but it was the other three members of Double Trouble joined him.
Bill Withers is presented by Stevie Wonder, and did Bill Withers sing? Because that's a rarity these days.
Yeah, he's pretty much retired, but he did chime in a little bit. I believe it was on Lean On Me, and I apologize because I was working the press room at that time, so I kind of had half an ear to it.
It's amazing, you know, an artist like that who had, you know, maybe even less than a handful of hits, but because some of the stuff that some of these artists have is played so much in movies and TV shows, they live very comfortably, don't they?
Yeah, you know, when you think about, you know, as you mentioned, Bill Withers, they're just tremendous songs that still get played every day.
Yeah.
And really, I could, you know, see how they've played a role in the soundtracks of people's lives. These are songs that are very common and a lot of people will know. So, yeah, I'm sure he does quite well. He's a good speaker. He gave a great speech.
It's been a wonderful, odd odyssey with ups, downs, and sometimes screw me arounds. But I will always remember the good things. Bottom line is, check this out. Stevie Wonder knows my name, and the brother just put me in the Hall of Fame.
But when he actually followed what he wrote, that's when the speech kind of went off the rails. When he was improvising, it was wonderful. But then he started thanking everybody in the world, and he ended up speaking for close to 15 minutes.
It's amazing. I know in your correspondence with me yesterday, you were saying that the speeches really went so long. We're lucky enough at home to watch on HBO when it's nicely edited and everything. But you said that there were a few technical glitches as well.
Yeah, the speeches... Yeah, between the speeches, well, here, for an example, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts and the Paul Butterfield Blues Band combined, now all those members combined, just speeches, 45 minutes. So,
wow.
There's some editing to be done there. Bill Withers, as I mentioned, you know, 14 to 15. Lou Reed's widow, Laurie Anderson, another 14 minutes. And then Ringo, so he's watching this whole show. He's the last one to go to be inducted. So he's inducted at the end of the night.
Yeah.
And he gets ready to perform, and he's got to wait while they set up the stage. He finally does his first song, which was Boys, is backed by the band Green Day. That
nice.
Was kind of neat to see.
Yeah, cool.
And then he's got to wait again while they set up the stage further for, you know, Joe Walsh to join in on It Don't Come Easy. So just stupid stuff that, you know, you have to scratch your head and wonder, you know, why would it take so long to, you know, get that stuff together, especially by the end of the night. It should be, you know, just running very quickly and very smoothly.
Well, we all can't wait to see it when it's on HBO May 30th, and I know that HBO will run it quite a few times, actually. Sal, great talking to you. Let's talk again about rock and roll. It's been really nice.
Well, I hope so, Jim. My pleasure. Anytime, and I'm a phone call away, so thank you for your time.
We appreciate you. Thanks, Sal.
All right, you take care. Bye-bye.
It's a long broadcast when it's edited down on HBO. I can just imagine how long Sal had to hang around between performances. Some good stuff, though. Green Day backing Ringo on Boys, then Joe Walsh joined Ringo on It Don't Come Easy, and then Paul and others with a little help from my friends and I Want to Be Your Man. Beck doing a Lou Reed song, and Joan Jett joined by Tommy James with Crimson and Clover. Can't wait to see it. But The Rock Hall and Jan Wenner, you have got to get Chicago, the Moody Blues, and Deep Purple in there. Well, that'll do it for me on this Rock Hall edition of The Fake Show. Tune in now on iTunes and take it with you. For The Fake Show, I'm Jim Tofte.